Breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rancho. This hour brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage. It is a breaking news situation as the president just moments ago indicated that he is strongly encouraging the governors across the country to implement the National Guard, to get them involved so that we can stop from having another evening of protests that turn into riots, turning into looting. He says that he does not want this to happen so that it does not overshadow the peaceful protests. Unfortunately, what we've seen over the course of the last several days, the nation completely torn apart and ignoring the actual peaceful protests and the messages behind that. Also, that a bunch of selfish looters, as well as Antifa members, were able to hurl bricks, frozen water bottles at the police. We've seen lots and lots of violence and looting and destruction at the hands of Antifa. And unfortunately, no one now is talking about what we should be talking about, which is justice for George Floyd, who, yes, was murdered. Now, what's happening right now, live in D.C., cops are clearing the area outside of Lafayette Park. They are rather aggressively dispersing the protesters. And the rumor is that the president is heading on over to St. John's. And it would appear he's doing that right now. He's flanked by a lot of Secret Service agents right now. And we believe he is on his way to go see the damage done at St. John's, which was put on fire yesterday as a result of the protests. And there are lots of media outlets right now that are running around trying to safely follow the president as he walks his way over just a few blocks. And again, we believe that he's on his way to St. John's Cathedral. And what's especially important to note about this is just moments ago, literally moments ago, there were hundreds of protesters on the street. And the president, who just delivered a speech from the Rose Garden, defiantly taking on Antifa and anarchists and the bad elements that have otherwise ruined a peaceful series of protests, he is now just wandering. He is walking over across Lafayette Park, surrounded by Secret Service. And this is very symbolic to say, I will not be holed up in the White House. You don't keep the president inside because of threats of violence. So this is symbolically incredibly meaningful. At the same time, it is also potentially dangerous. Now, of course, the Secret Service, law enforcement, military member, they're not going to allow anything to happen to the president. But one could very easily see this potentially getting out of control. And I believe Fox News with Martha McCullum is on right now doing some of the play-by-play. I want to dip into this briefly as they have a better sense of the layout and the direction that the president is going. Here's Fox News.
I'm in Austin, Texas, which is a pretty progressive town, sort of liberal in mind.
Okay, let's push this but out. Not Martha McCullum. She'll go back on in a moment. I just want to get a better sense of how the which specific route the president is taking. Incredibly important for you to know this because, you know, there are some significant safety concerns for any president who is just wandering out there without much notice to the public. Now, at the same time, you have CNN and Don Lemon live just saying we are teetering on the edge of a dictatorship. These people are insane. Don Lemon is insane. And we're going to have that audio for you in a moment. Because what's going on here is an interesting reaction to a president who has been very clear he is not going to allow Antifa. He's not going to allow any anarchist or any agitator dictate the direction of any country. He's not going to allow them to take over the peaceful protests. Now, it's still unclear where the president is walking to. They are obviously not disclosing the location because of the protests, but it's very important to understand the symbolism of what the president is doing here. And this is why so many back this president. He is, as he said, a law and order president. He said earlier that he is asking governors to use the National Guard to ensure the safety of the protesters. But if they're unwilling to do that, the president said he's going to get tough.
We are ending the riots and lawlessness that has spread throughout our country. We will end it now.
Here is Martha McCullum from Fox News, just for a quick update on the location of the president.
Very historic church. And I apologize. I know the camera work is tricky here because they're literally chasing the president as he makes this really, I think, significant moment journey across this park to witness some of this damage that has been done. So we're going to wait till and the president now standing in front of this building of St. John's, Carl.
Martha, look at that. That is that great historic.
Looks like the president is speaking. We don't know if there is a microphone close enough to him, but he is standing outside of St. John's Church. He's now holding up a Bible.
We have a great country. That's my thoughts. Greatest country in the world. Make it even greater. We will make it even greater. It won't take long. It's not going to take long. You see what's going on. It's coming back. It's coming back strong. It'll be greater than ever before.
Do you rather wish to further inflame intentions by using the military to suppress him?
Are you prepared to hard to tell exactly what the president is doing now. He's now standing in front of the church that have since been boarded up as a result of the damage that was done by protesters yesterday. Agitators yesterday, not protesters. Again, if you're just joining us, the president just made the walk from the White House to St. John's Church, just a couple blocks away. He's doing this because yesterday, several agitators in front of the White House, not the peaceful protesters, but the ones who were looking for damage, actually pulled an American flag from perched atop the church or near the entryway to the church and set fire to it. And the president is standing there flanked by Attorney General Bill Barr. I see Kayleigh McEnany, the press secretary. I believe Mark Meadows is there as well. He's got his head turned away from the cameras. He is the chief of staff.
The greatest country in the world. Thank you very much, everybody. I'm going to keep it nice and safe.
The president with obviously some of his cabinet, the Homeland Security Secretary, who has an important job right now, Robert O'Brien, is with him. We also see Bill Barr and Mark Meadows, the chief of staff, also in this group. Kayleigh McEnany, his press secretary, is there as well, as they appear to be making their way across the park. Again, the president holding a Bible, stood in front of the side door to the St. John's Church building. I'm also joined now by the rector of the historic St. John's Church in our nation's capital, which, as we saw, was damaged by the protests this weekend. The Reverend Robert Fisher of St. John's Church joins me now. Reverend, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Pardon me?
Your thoughts on what we have just been watching here.
This is such an interesting moment for me when we agreed to have this talk
I had no idea what was going to be going on at 7 o'clock tonight. So yeah. I actually haven't seen
Neither
any
did we.
Of it. I've been listening to it all, of course. And honestly, it's it feels like, in so many ways, kind of a surreal moment for me. So, yeah, I feel like I'm in some alternative universe in some kind of way.
Yeah. Because you could never imagine what happened last night, I'm sure. I mean, it was such a shock. You know, I think, you know, I think of these iconic places, right? Like St. Paul's Cathedral in London during the Blitz, or, you know, even watching Notre Dame burn, which was, you know, a different sort of situation. But St. John's is such an, it's such a historic, important place in our nation's capital. And to see the fire and smoke coming out of the side building there last night was just a shocking, shocking thing. And now the president walking over there today. Tell me what's going through your mind, Reverend.
Yeah, well, what's going through my mind, I'm remembering the moment last night when I was getting calls from parishioners and they were saying the church is on fire. And I had seen footage of fires near the church, and I was watching closely, but I had not yet seen a fire that was actually at the church or in the church. And I was hoping and praying that they were wrong and that it wasn't St. John's that was actually burning. And then there was a moment where I saw with my own eyes that indeed it was. So that was a hard moment. I went by later in the night, actually in the wee hours of the morning, and actually had a chance to inspect and look around myself, my wife and I. And that was actually a very positive moment because just personally, I was thrilled to see that the fire only burned the nursery. And the fire didn't expand out. It didn't. We have two very historic buildings, the Ashburton House, which is our parish house where Sunday school and meetings and offices are. And then there's the sanctuary. They used to be separate. Now they're joined. And what burned was actually in the basement. And it was just one room that had been recently renovated. It wasn't one of the irreplaceable historic parts of our space. And I was so grateful for that. I also am very, very mindful that those people who did this, or it may have been one person, I don't know who it was, I think it's really important to say that person does not represent the majority of the people that are out there peacefully protesting with an important message. And today, this was something we had already planned on doing, but after what happened last night, there was even more energy and focus around it. But we gathered people of faith, clergy, of course, all the clergy from St. John's and other Episcopal clergy, but people from other denominations and lay people as well as ministers. And we handed out refreshments, and we prayed with people, and we were just a presence of prayer and caring. And what I experienced right on the grounds of St. John's, right where we just saw, or you all just saw some of the footage, was actually very hopeful, very peaceful, very loving. And I think it's important to reflect that out. We hope about St. John's, you know, it's not just a historic church. It truly is. It's a remarkably historic church.
You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. Just to set you back up as to what we just witnessed, a historic moment tonight as the President of the United States just walked from the White House to St. John's Church just a few blocks away, where last night rioters, members of Antifa and activists who have no interest in being peaceful, they set fire to it last night. And in the words of former ambassador to Germany, Richard Grenell, the outgoing acting DNI director, he said, it's a triumphant moment of hope over fear. And this comes at a time where American cities are being torn apart, set on fire by bad actors who are not interested in focusing on the injustice towards George Floyd. They're not interested in honoring his memory. These are professional activists. They are, as President Trump is noting, terrorists who are trying to turn people against the American system. And this was a very powerful moment for President Trump and for this nation. Now, at the same time, we're seeing all across the country, and of course right here in Washington State, different protests that are happening right now have been peaceful. They're going on in Seattle, in Renton, but there are some concerns that some bad actors are yet again going to turn peaceful protests into the anarchy and the total chaos that we've seen over the course of the last few days. Joining me on the line live to discuss this, Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney. Sheriff Fortney, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
So, if you could, take us through. Have you been getting any intelligence on the ground to indicate that Snohomish County might have to deal with some of these Antifa activists or the professional anarchists and activists who are not interested in peacefully protesting?
Yeah, we've been busy with it all weekend, Jason, and into this week for sure. And just to clarify right off the top of this discussion, and I think you've already said it well, but I just want to make my position known. If people are going to protest peacefully, as they rightfully should, over what happened, it disgusts me to watch that video.
Yeah.
We're going to support that all day long. All day long. People have a right to protest. I've been pretty outspoken on constitutional rights, and we absolutely support that right. But there has to be a clear distinction between a peaceful protest and then the other stuff that we're seeing, the damage to property, the burning of cars. In Minneapolis, they burnt down an actual police station. You're right. I agree with your distinction, and we definitely see that up here in Snohomish County. So what we've been dealing with up here is there's a lot of social media threats, and the problem on the police end is that we have to take them seriously, because if we don't, and they actually show up, then we're going to be behind the ball, and we can't let that happen. So we dealt with it all day yesterday in Snohomish. I'm sure you've seen a little bit about that. And then we had some show up later that night up in Tulalip, which was mainly their responsibility, and we assisted them with manpower up there. So, yes, we're seeing it in Snohomish County as well.
Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney joining us on the line live. Is there any reason to believe that there's anything imminent that is going to be underway in Snohomish County tonight?
I just don't know what to take seriously, Jason, because, like I said, most of this stuff is gathered from social media. And we do have threats, I won't say all over Snohomish County, but there's three or four we're monitoring right now. We're ready to respond to. We're ready to respond our city agencies that we partner with in the county. As far as imminent, I just don't know which ones are going to come to fruition and which ones aren't. I just don't know.
What's the nature of the threats?
They're going to show up and loot at various businesses.
Are there any particular cities that they're mentioning that you can mention?
Yeah, I don't want to mention them now because I don't know what's out there. So all I can say is that we have a response all planned for and we're ready for it. So one thing I can tell you, in Snohomish County, and I think we're on the same page up here, again, if you want to peacefully protest, we're going to be there with you. Well, we might even partner with you. But when you cross the line, then damaging property, damaging businesses, catching things on fire, we are not going to stand for that here. We are not.
So you made reference to the over the weekend in the city of Snohomish, individuals decided to arm themselves alongside law enforcement to better protect against the potential of looting. A lot of folks on social media were saying there's no way that Snohomish would ever be targeted. But to your point, very clearly online, there were threats of potentially targeting the city of Snohomish. Did you see anything come of any of the threats whatsoever?
So this is what happened in Snohomish, and I don't know where this is. Well, it's social media, so social media gets a lot of things wrong. But there is some stuff being said about what happened in Snohomish yesterday, and I was there all day long and into the evening, that just is not accurate. Where was a credible threat, not of a peaceful protest, but of a, quote, violent protest by Antifa that was going to target the city of Snohomish to bring it out to the rural communities. That was online. So, yeah, we at the sheriff's office, we decided that that's a contract city for us. So we ramped up resources. We asked for help from the cities around us, and we had a pretty decent plan in place in a matter of a couple hours, which it takes quite a bit to get that many resources together. But during that time, you know, it blew up on social media and went out through the community as well. We knew there may be an issue if they did decide to show up. We knew citizens up here in Snohomish County, they're not going to take it. They're just not. And so that was a concern of ours because we didn't want it to come to that. So we had reports of two groups of citizens gathering at different ends of the city that were there to help protect the city. I actually went out there personally and talked to them. One was a group of about 10, one was a group of about 30. And this was very early on in the day. Jason, I'm telling you, what's being reported about these folks is not accurate. These folks were just there. Some of them owned businesses. Some of them had friends that owned businesses. They just weren't, after what we saw across the country and, mm-hmm. just to the south in Seattle. They weren't going to let that happen in Snohomish. We, as the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office, we did not ask for their help or anything like that. As a matter of fact, we said, we're not going to make you leave, but if you can be our eyes and ears, please call 911, because we don't want citizens getting mixed up in this stuff. We don't want that. And then throughout the rest of the day and into the evening, it kind of took on a life of its own, as you saw.
So last question for you. The president yesterday tweeted that he was going to designate Antifa as a terrorist organization. The governor, Jay Inslee, balked at a question that I asked about that. We've seen some folks online who defend Antifa saying, number one, they're not an actual organization and they're simply anti-fascist. Do you believe Antifa should be classified as a terrorist organization based on the way you've seen them sort of engage politically?
Yeah, I think it's past time, Jason. I just do. I think that's a pretty bold move on his part, but I think it's time that is done. I mean, these folks are targeting our cities. They're not part of the peaceful protesting. I want to make sure I'm being very clear about that. Antifa are the folks that they're fairly well organized. They come to these cities to cause destruction and harm people. And that's just not okay. So I am okay with the president declaring that. Absolutely.
There you go. That was Sheriff Adam Fortney of Snohomish County. My friend, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. You're listening to live coverage of a number of events and protests all around the country, but here at home, there's a protest going on right now in Kirkland where a couple hundred individuals are just laying on the ground as if they presumably were killed by police. This is one of the ways some activists show their disgust with how they view policing in this country. We're going to be covering that, the ongoing protest in Seattle. There's a protest going on right now in the city of Renton as well, and we're going to check in with the city of Bellevue, which yesterday, which caught a lot of folks by surprise, realized that they were the targets of something traditionally that we see in Seattle. So we're going to cover that when we come back. The IRS is increasing the number of officers in Washington State, and if you owe money, they're going to come for you. Don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. More live coverage when we return on The Jason Rand Show.
This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show. A lot of different stories are happening at the exact same time. The big picture breaking news event, President Trump said during a statement in the Rose Garden about 30 minutes or so ago that he is taking immediate action to provide federal resources to various states so that they could quell the riots and the looting that we've seen. And he was very, very strong in condemning what it is we've been seeing on the streets, not the peaceful protesters, but the agitators.
These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror. The destruction of innocent life and the spilling of innocent blood is an offense to humanity and a crime against God. America needs creation, not destruction. Cooperation, not contempt. Security, not anarchy. Healing, not hatred. Justice, not chaos. This is our mission, and we will succeed 100%.
Now, at the same time, we're seeing a whole bunch of different protests here in Washington State. Small protests like in Woodinville at I-405 on the 160th Street Bridge. We're seeing instances of protests in Kirkland, Renton, and, of course, in a much significant way, a bigger way, here in Seattle. Joining us on the line live from the streets of Seattle following this protest is Hannah Scott from our sister station, Cairo Radio. Hannah, take us through exactly where you find yourself and how many people or so are there.
I'm going to say we've got probably close to 1,000 people here marching through the streets of Seattle. Right now we are on outside of Seattle City Hall along 4th Avenue, where the organizers of this are on the steps speaking to the crowd, really everything very peaceful so far. They're speaking about how basically the country, the government treats them differently, and, you know, they're tired of racial injustice and things like we saw with George Floyd, but nothing hateful or any kind of dark messaging going on here. We started back at Westlake Park about an hour ago, where they encouraged all of those that were going to take part in this march. The organizers did, to stay 5 feet back from the front line of the police. That way, everything they said went well yesterday doing that, so they encouraged everyone to do the same today.
Now, what the SPD has been doing, at least yesterday, Saturday, whether or not it was the command staff or the mayor's office that got caught flat-footed, that was very clear. They didn't really have a plan, or they certainly didn't implement one, which is why we were seeing the rioting and the protesting that turned violent from a group of agitators within the bigger peaceful environment. Yesterday, they did what they normally do in May Day scenarios, where they will guide the protests rather than let the protests guide them, and they keep them in a place where they can do as little damage as they might want to if things turn. Are they doing that again today?
Yeah, we've got, every single intersection along this march. We've got the bicycle police officers at each one of them. I haven't seen anybody get too close to them, and the cops seem to be doing just fine. We had National Guard set up outside of several businesses down near Westlake. And, yeah, this reminds me of what they did. You know, several years ago, I think 2011 was maybe the first Occupy Seattle march that I covered here, and it was very unorganized, and it looked a lot like kind of things we saw on Saturday, and that went on for a couple of years. And then Seattle police got very organized with how they react to these types of incidents and these protests in March. So whatever happened on Saturday was not what we were used to seeing.
So this is also coming as a third day in a row of a 6 p.m. today curfew. Yesterday was 5 p.m. Today is 6 p.m. You know, Mayor Jenny Durkan has sort of put herself in a tricky position where the reason why she's putting out this curfew is she wants to give another tool to the police should they need to use it. But it's not been enforced in any meaningful way, certainly not right at 5 o'clock in the past 2 days. And I'm presuming, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that's probably not going to happen tonight at 6.
No, and it's not. And I'll tell you what, Mayor Jenny Durkan spoke about that at her press conference earlier today. She was asked, you know, look, the curfew kicked in at 5 last night, and everybody was on the street until 11 or something. And she said, it's another tool, like you said, Jason, but it's with officer discretion. So if there's people getting out of control and they need to use that to arrest them or whatever it is they need to do to get them off the street, then they can use that. But she praised the officers in Seattle last night for using that discretion well, mm-hmm. and allowing the people to have that moment to have their voice and do their marching and their protesting peacefully. And that's essentially what we'll see again tonight. No mass clearing of the street right at 6.
Well, there you go. We're going to keep in touch with you throughout the evening as we try to figure out where exactly this is going to end. And as you've said, and as we've said on the show, as long as everything's peaceful, there's not been any problems with that. In fact, there seems to be great agreement, not just in this state, but across the country, including in law enforcement, that George Floyd was murdered by Derek Chauvin, the police officer. He should be charged. He should go to jail. The question then becomes is, will these peaceful protesters allow themselves to be defined by these agitators, the Antifa individuals, the professional activists who are, frankly, exploiting this death for their own personal gain? Last question for you. Have you seen any indication that some of those faces are in this crowd?
I saw a couple of people that kind of looked like they might be that when we were back at Westlake. I've seen a couple within the crowd, but I haven't seen anybody doing anything yet. You know, what tends to happen with these things is when it gets dark, those people that might be hidden within the crowd might do something, and things will take off from there. So we'll have to wait and see how it goes. I don't see a large presence. I don't see anything like I saw on Saturday yet.
Good. Well, you know what? The good news is right now it gets dark about 9 o'clock, so there's going to be a lot of people marching and tired at that point. And that is actually part of the strategy, is to get folks to be tired so they end up dispersing. Hannah Scott, thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
You bet.
You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. Again, there are a number of protests that are happening all around the state, but also all around the country. We're getting news coming from Minneapolis that an independent autopsy found that George Floyd died of asphyxiation. And so obviously that just backs up the reason why so many people are united in their anger and their disgust at this officer, Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd. This was a murder. Now, of course, there's a question as to whether or not it should be murder one versus murder three or manslaughter. And I will say this. The folks who want to get angry over a lack of, in their view, a rush to charge, understand that in situations like this, if you screw up the case at the beginning because you decided to rush to charge on something you couldn't necessarily convict on, he walks. And then there is even more anger. And so what I think is very clear in Minneapolis and in Minnesota, as the Attorney General Keith Ellison is now getting involved, what they want to do is make sure that they can actually convict and put this man in jail, because they know the consequences of putting him on trial and a jury letting him go free. And so that's what I would tell people who are concerned about a rush to charge. He's been charged. The other officers have not yet. It's because they're looking at the law and they're looking at all the evidence so they can get it right. And I've heard from some people who said, oh, well, when a criminal shoots a cop and murders them, they are immediately charged. Yes, because that is a cut and dry case of a murder where we can easily prove that. But it's not as easy here, because when we're talking about murder one, you have to show nefarious intent. And they want to make sure that you can actually prove the intent behind the action. And even though it sure looks like it, that was the intent, whether or not you can prove that in a court of law is a lot different. And understand that virtually everyone is on the exact same side as to the anger with George Floyd's murder. And you've got people who are bad faith actors in all of this, who are taking advantage of the peaceful protest. And they are trying to further their own political agenda. It is Antifa, a terrorist organization. It's the anarchists that we've seen in Seattle. We've seen in this region for years. But then over the weekend, because people don't want to immediately go after Antifa, either because they agree with Antifa, they think we actually have a Hitler-style leader in the White House, Don Lemon earlier today saying that, open your eyes, guys, we're teetering on a dictatorship. These are the people who won't condemn Antifa, and they'll sit back and say, well, is it really Antifa? Do you have any proof? Yes, number one, we have proof, because I've literally seen some of the same people at previous Antifa rallies showing up yesterday and over the weekend. We know that it's there, and we know that this is what they normally do. So right now, Seattle is about to hit their curfew in a little over an hour from now. The curfew is set in Seattle at 6 p.m. In Renton, they are also instituting a curfew. We believe it's going to be from 11:45, potentially from 11:45 on tonight, but we're still waiting to get information from the mayor and from the city. We do know that there is also a curfew in place in Tulalip. The casinos are closed. And a curfew is in place started at 3:30. And then in Mercer Island, there is a 7 p.m. curfew. Producer Peyton and I were wondering whether or not that's necessary for Mercer Island. But I think part of it is that they just want people off the streets. And so if you are a protester, maybe in Seattle or in Renton, if you have a city, your city's curfew where you live, maybe it pushes you there.
I've yet to see a protest in Mercer Island.
There's not been a protest that I'm aware of yet in Mercer Island. We're going to continue to cover this and how it's impacting you and how it's impacting this nation when we come back on the Jason Rand Show.
This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show after 3 to 4 nights of riots and looting, having very little to do with George Floyd, where professional activists, be it members of Antifa or any of their related side organizations, be it professional anarchists, be it just professional fringe leftists, they've decided to take advantage of what they're seeing on our streets with these peaceful demonstrations. And they are choosing, instead of helping to highlight the voices that are in pain and struggling to express themselves, rather than help them, unfortunately, we see them overshadowing the messages. Unlike so many other scenarios where we've seen this type of movement, this was one that I thought most people agreed with, that George Floyd was murdered. And people could have come together. People were coming together. And there should have been no protest that got out of hand because everyone was on the same side, regardless of their political ideology, regardless of their gender, regardless of their sexual orientation and religion, and regardless of their race. Everyone came together. And that's when the Antifa activists and the anarchists get to work. That's when they decide to disrupt, take advantage of the situation, turn peaceful demonstrations violent, because they are driven by an ideology. And their ideology says they need to get rid of the systems that we have in place in this country, be it a system of actual policing or a system of capitalism. Their goal is to destroy it, and they destroy it by causing disruption, by agitating. And it starts by encouraging looting and rioting, which brings down communities and brings down businesses, including, by the way, businesses owned by people of color who now don't have a business to go back to. Right now, there are people in the city of Bellevue, for example, that are struggling during an economic downturn thanks to the coronavirus. They were already struggling. Now they're struggling just a little bit more because they lost their business to rioters. They lost their business to rioters. Now, in a lot of ways, people weren't expecting to see what we saw yesterday in the city of Bellevue, where on the one hand you had some amazing moments of conversations between their chief of police, Steve Mylett, and the peaceful protesters, but then unfortunately alongside lots of looting done, we believe, by gang members in areas around Bellevue. Joining us on the line is Steve Mylett, chief of police for the Bellevue PD. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jason, thanks for having me back.
So obviously yesterday was a tremendous moment for you and the crowd as you took the time to actually talk to them. Take us through what was the impetus for that move at that time.
So my officers had been providing, you know, protection for this group as they, you know, exercise their constitutional right to assemble and protest and to have their voices heard. And so there was an individual, when I rolled up, there was an individual that was leading the crowd. And in my view, he was leading it in the right direction. And it was to express their anger, anguish, hurt, you know, the dismay and violation of, you know, what we as law enforcement officers represent. When it, you know, in the whole issue with, you know, George Floyd, and the tragic way that this poor man died, it was wrong. And so they were expressing their feelings, in my view, in a very productive way. Loud, aggressive, but not aggressive in a negative sense.
Yeah.
And so the officers, they had some dialogue with the crowd. And when I rolled up, I talked to my on-scene commander, the captain, Captain Nault. And we were talking about the crowd and everything, and he said, you know, Chief, there's some people in there that really are, you know, trying to get messages across in a very productive way. And, you know, he pointed out a woman that was in the crowd, a young lady, and she just, you know, she was staring at me, and she didn't know who I was, and, you know, I felt compelled to walk over and I asked her if I can hug her. She said yes, and that started the conversation.
you made this point yesterday during your speech. We've been talking about it on the show for the last several days. There is near unanimous agreement that George Floyd was killed. It was not just sloppy policing. It was dangerous policing. Derek Chauvin belongs in jail. And unfortunately, instead of everyone sort of just being able to come together, we've got the people who are taking advantage of the peaceful protests. Now, in the Seattle area, we've seen very clearly the Antifa-style strategy of disruption. In Bellevue, turns out it was a little bit different. Can you take us through what you were hearing and when you started to learn that maybe gang members were involved in the looting?
Absolutely, Jason. So first, let me just clarify one thing. You know, I think you said sloppy policing or poor police. It was no policing.
Yeah.
That was not policing. That was something else that we as a country, we as a society, need to reject and condemn. We don't do that. And we need, all of us need to be offended when that happens. So we sent several, you know, a bunch of resources over to Seattle to assist them. I believe it was on Friday. You know, because they were dealing with some massive protests and, you know, the things that they were dealing with. And, when Mayor Durkin issued the curfew ordinance, we started seeing chatter that, well, Bellevue doesn't have a curfew ordinance. And then it just started building from there. And so we were monitoring, you know, the conversation going back and forth, and it continued to build. I went immediately to 12-hour shifts. I did a general recall of my employees. We started preparing for the worst, hoping for the best, and mobilized our resources, and, you know, we were as prepared as we could be. So on, and I'm losing track of my days, actually.
That's fine. Jason, we have, by the way, about 2 minutes left. So.
Okay, so we had this advance group come in that appeared to be peaceful protesters, and I could see them, because I was out there, I could see them communicating with another group, either through microphone or on the phone or both. And then all of a sudden, it's like a blink of an eye. It swelled to 100, 200, 300. They took over the intersection. They mobbed the Hyatt Regency or the Hyatt Hotel, and it just deteriorated from there. And then they were using tactics, and well-practiced tactics, to spread our resources thin. And
how confident are you that they were gang members?
I'm confident that there was a gang member element that organized it. I'm not sure how many in the crowd were gang members, but there was definitely a gang influence. And we're also finding out information later that, you know, some of the individuals that may have been in this group may have been getting paid to smash out windows and to wreak the havoc that they were wreaking.
Paid by who?
I don't know. We're tracking it down. I got some emails that came in from people that were close to some of the looters, and that's just, you know, information that we're going to be following up on. It wouldn't surprise me. And, you know, if you think about it, the strategy that some of these groups use to deflect attention from the issues that we all should be talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it makes sense to me.
Just real quick, can you clarify? Do you mean the payment could potentially be to organized crime and gang, or to an ideological group like an Antifa?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but it could be both. It could be. I'm not sure. I'd hate to say exactly what it is yet when I don't have the information. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by. Sorry we ran out of time here. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for speaking out when you speak out. And thank you for being so measured in the comments you have, whether it's to the media or to peaceful protesters. It's really appreciated. You know, we've been talking with Bellevue PD Chief Steve Milette. Thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason. Take care.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. More live coverage when we return right here on The Jason Rantz Show.